Perek Tes. Uvishneim Osa Chodesh, Hu Chodesh Adar. And in the 12th month, which was the month of Adar, Bishloisha Osa Yoim Boy, on the 13th day of the month, on the 13th day of Adar, Asher Higia Dvar HaMelech V'dosei Lehei Osois, when the king's command and rule drew near to be executed, Bayoim Asher Sibru Oyvei Yehudim Lishloi Pohem, on the day that the enemies of the Jews hoped to rule over them, V'nahapachu, and it was reversed, Asher Yishlutu HaYehudim Heima B'Soinehem, the Jews ruled over their enemies. And the Vilna Gaon points out that the Pasuk uses two different words to describe the enemies of the Jews. First it says, Oyivei HaYehudim. Then it says, Soinehem. The Gaon says there is a difference between an Oyev and a Soine. Oyev is an enemy who seeks to personally afflict harm. Soine is an enemy who rejoices at the downfall of the one that he dislikes, but does not personally afflict any harm. And this is the meaning of the Pasuk. B'yoyim asher sibru oyvei ha-yehudim lishloit bohem. On the day that the oyvim of the Jews wanted to inflict personal harm to them, v'nahafachu, it was reversed. Asher yishlutu ha-yehudim heima b'soineihem. The Jewish victory was so total that they even prevailed over the soinim, the enemies that did not seek to inflict personal harm to them. Even those type of enemies, the Jews ruled over. And the Medrash Shmuel says that if we think about it, this pasuk points out yet another miracle of the Purim story. We mentioned numerous times earlier the Gemara that says that Ahasuerus was Melech Hafach V'Chonhoya, a king that constantly changed his mind. Ahasuerus signed the letters on the 23rd of Sivan, authorizing the Jews to take revenge against their enemies. However, the revenge would not take place until the 13th of Adar, 9 months later. The fact that Ahasuerus did not change his mind during those 9 months was truly a miracle. In Shulchan Aruch Hilchos Megillah Sif Beis, the Mechaber says, "Misanim biyud gimel ba'adar." We fast on the 13th day of Adar. This fast is called Tainis Esther. It is not to commemorate the 3-day fast that Esther instituted before she came before Ahasuerus, as stated in Perek Dalet Pasuk Tezayin, because that fast was in the month of Nisan. And this fast is in Adar, but rather it is to commemorate the Jewish victory of the war, which took place on Yud Gimel Be'Adar. And since during wars, Klal Yisrael used to fast, like we find that Moshe Rabbeinu fasted by the war against Amalek, so surely during this war, on the 13th of Adar, they fasted. We therefore commemorate that fast, and we too fast on the 13th of Adar, as if to say, just like by that fast, Hashem listened to their tefillahs, and they were saved. So too, He should listen to our fasting and our tefillahs in our times. In Sefer Kav HaYoshar, a segula is brought down that the day of Tainis Esther is an excellent opportunity to tap into the schusim of Mordechai and Esther. And therefore, anyone who needs a Yeshua should set aside time on Tainis Esther to say Kapitul Chav Beis, Lamnatzeach al Ayelas HaShachar, which Chazal teach us, is referring to Esther. He then should daven, mentioning Mordechai and Esther, asking Hashem to fulfill his request in their schus. And the pasuk continues, pasuk beis, nikhalu ayehudim ba'orehem, the Jews gathered in their cities, b'chol medinas hamelech Ahasuerus, in all the provinces of King Ahasuerus, lishloach yad b'mevakshei ra'osam, to send forth their hand to those who sought to do evil to them, v'ishloi amad lefnehem, and no man stood up against them, because the fear of them fell on all the nations, and all the rulers of the provinces, and the officials, and the governors, and the ones who conducted the king's affairs, elevated the Jews, because the fear of Mordechai fell upon them. Zokt Rashi, Pasuk Gimel, Ve'oisei HaMelocha, who are the Oisei HaMelocha? Oisam Shehoyu Memunim La'asois Tzorchei HaMelech, the ones who were appointed to conduct the king's affairs. In Pasuk Beis it says, Ki nofal pachdom al kol ha'amim, because the fear of the Jews fell on all the nations. So why in this Pasuk does it say, Ki nofal pachad Mordechai aleihem, that the fear of Mordechai fell on them? Vilna Gaon explains, Pasuk Beis is referring to the general public, who did not know Mordechai personally. For them, the fear of the Jews was enough to deter them. Our pasuk, however, is referring to the government officials, like the pasuk says, "Sari hamedinos ha'achash tarpanim and the pachos." They were the ones who knew Mordechai personally, and therefore, now that Mordechai was appointed the new prime minister, the fear of Mordechai was even on these officials. Pasuk Dalet, Ki gadol Mordechai beveis hamelech, because Mordechai became great in the house of the king. Vishamai hoilech b'chol hamedinos, and his fame went throughout all of the provinces. Ki hoish Mordechai hoilech v'gadol, because the man Mordechai became greater and greater. The Malbim explains that a government usually has three high officials, one in charge of the palace, a second in charge of matters of state, and a third for war and foreign affairs. The pasuk is telling us that Mordechai was in charge of all three. He was Gadol Beveis HaMelech, over the king's palace. Shomai Holech Bechol HaMedinos. His fame went throughout all of the provinces. He was in charge of matters of state. And he was Holech V'Gadol, becoming greater and greater, taking over even foreign affairs. Pasuk Hei, Vayaku HaYehudim Bechol Oyveihem. And the Jews struck all their enemies, Makas Cherev, a blow of the sword, V'Hereg V'Avdon, and slaughtering and exterminating. Vayasu b'soneihem kiritzonam, and they did to their enemies as they wished. The simple meaning is, whatever the Jews wished to do to the Goyim, they were able to do. Monas Halevi and Alshich learn, Vayasu b'soneihem, they did to their enemies kiritzonam, like the wish of their enemies, which means, what their enemies wished to do to them, they did back to their enemies. Pasuk Vav, Uvishushan Abira and in Shushan the capital, Harugu Ayehudin va'abed. The Jews killed and destroyed Chamesh Meos Ish, 500 Ish, as Yosef Lekach explains, 500 Ish, 500 prominent people, and also the 10 sons of Haman. As the Pasuk says, Ve'es Pashandosa, Ve'es Dalfon, Ve'es Asposo, Ve'es Pairosa, Ve'es Adalia, Ve'es Aridosa, Ve'es Parmashta, Ve'es Arisai, Ve'es Aridai, Ve'es Vaisosa, Aseres Bnei Haman Ben Hamdosa, the 10 sons of Haman, the son of Hamdosa, Sorer HaYehudim, who was the enemy of the Jews. Harogu, they were all killed. Uvabiza lo sholchu es yodom, and the Jews did not take any of the spoils. Zokt Rashi Aseres b'nei Haman. Ro'isi b'seder oilam, I saw in seder oilam a reason why these 10 were singled out to be hung. Because they were the ones who were personally involved in stopping the rebuilding of the Beis HaMikdash. Zokt Rashi Elu Asoro, these were the 10 Shekosvu Sitna al Yehuda v'Yerushalayim, who wrote an accusation against Yehuda and Yerushalayim, k'ma shekosvu b'Sefer Ezra, like it is written in Sefer Ezra, uve'malchus Achashverosh b'tchilas malchusai, in the beginning of the reign of Achashverosh, kosvu sitna al Yoshve Yehuda v'Yerushalayim. They wrote an accusation against the ones who lived in Yehuda and Yerushalayim. Umahi asitna, and what was this accusation? Levatel ha'olim min ha'goyla b'mei Kairosh, to stop the ones who came out of the Golos in the days of Kairosh, Sheeschilu Livnois Asabayas, who began to rebuild the Beis HaMikdash, V'hilshinu Aleihem Akutim V'chdilum, and the Goyim slandered them and stopped them. U'kishimeis Kairosh, when Kairosh died, U'molach Achashverosh, and Achashverosh became king, V'hisnase Haman, and Haman was promoted, Do'ag, Haman saw to it, Shelo Ya'asku Oysam Shebi Yerushalayim Bebinyan, that those who live in Yerushalayim should not engage in the rebuilding of the Beis HaMikdash. Visholchu, and these 10 sons sent, B'shem Achashverosh, in the name of Achashverosh, L'sori Eva Hanor, to the princes on the other side of the Euphrates, to the princes of Eretz Yisrael, Levatlon, to stop the Jews from rebuilding the Beis HaMikdash. So since the Aseres Bnei Haman were directly involved in stopping the rebuilding, therefore they were fit for such a punishment. Zokt Rashi, Uvabiza leSholchu es Yodom, they did not take from the spoils. Sheloyitin Hamelech Ayin Sora b'Mamon, in order that the king should not be envious of the money that they received. It is interesting to note that here Rashi says a different reason why they did not take from the spoils than he said in Peruk Ches. Over here he says, it was in order that Achashverosh should not be envious of the money they received. However, in Peruk Ches, Pasuk Yud Aleph, Rashi says over there, Sheheru lakoil shelo naase l'shei mamon. They did not take from the spoils in order to show everyone that they did not fight against their enemies for the money, rather just to defend themselves. Why does Rashi say a different reason in this perek than he said in perek Ches? I saw two answers to this question. Firstly, over here in perek Tes, it is referring to the killing of the 10 sons of Haman. After killing them, it says, Uvabiza leshalchu es yadam. Since Haman's sons were very wealthy, if the Jews would have taken their spoils, Achashverosh would have been very envious. That is why it says over here that they did not take from the spoils, shelo yiten hamelech ayin tzara b'mamayin, in order that the king should not become envious. However, in Perek Ches, the pasuk is referring to the killing of the general public, their enemies who were not prestigious and wealthy. Concerning them, Achashverosh would not have been envious. Therefore, Rashi says a different reason, which is that the people should not say that they did it for the money. Another possible answer is that in Perek Tes it is referring to the Shalol of Shushan, as Pasuk Vav says, Uvishushan Habira Haragu. Since Shushan was the location of the king, Achashverosh would see the spoils that they take over there and would become jealous. That's why Rashi in Perek Tes says, Shelo yiten hamelech ayin tzara b'mamayin. The reason why they did not take the spoils is so that Achashverosh should not be jealous. However, Perek Ches is referring to the spoils of provinces around the world, where Achashverosh would be totally unaware of what they took and would not become envious. Therefore, Rashi says there a different reason, Sheheru lakoil shelo nasu l'shem mamon, in order to show everyone that they did not do it for the money. Me'am Loye says yet another reason why they didn't take from the spoils. Since Esther's ancestor, Shaul HaMelech, had sinned by sparing Agag and by allowing the people to take some of the spoils of Amalek, his Avero was now rectified by killing Agag's descendants, Haman and his sons, and by not taking the spoils, although they were permitted to do so. And we find a remez to this in the phrase, Uvabiza loy sholchu es, whose first letters spell the name Shaul. Uvabiza loy sholchu es. By not taking the biza, they rectified Shaul HaMelech's Avero. The Gemara in Megillah tells us that the 10 sons of Haman and the word Aseres in Pasuk Yud should all be said in one breath, as the Gemara says, because they all died at the same moment. The Gemara also tells us that the letter Vav of the name Vaizasa is enlarged in the Megillah, like a long pole, to indicate that Haman's 10 sons were all hung, one underneath the other, on one long pole. And the Gemara in Megillah also tells us that each name of Haman's sons, along with the word Ve'es, is written one on top of the other, each name on a separate line, so that the first line reads Ve'es Pashandasa, and the second line reads Ve'es Dalfoin, and so on. And this is to indicate that all the sons will fall together without any support underneath them. It is the minhag for all present by the Kriyas HaMegillah to read the 10 sons of Haman out loud. What is the reason for this minhag? There is a din of Beroiv Om Hadras Melech. The greater and larger the crowd, the more honor it is for Hashem. And therefore it is customary to read the Megillah publicly. By one reading and everyone else listening, everyone is Yoitza because of the din of Shamea Ka'ina. One who listens is as if he said it. The Tzofnas Paneach, the Rogatchava, explains that Shamea Ka'ina can accomplish that it is as if you said the words, but it cannot accomplish that it is as if you said the words B'Neshima Achas in one breath. Therefore, each person should say it to himself, B'Neshima Achas, to accomplish that part of the mitzvah. Reb Chaim Kanievsky points out in Sefer Taimid Dekro that concerning the 500 people that were killed in Pasuk Vav, it says Hargu, they were killed, and also it says Ve'abed, and they were destroyed. That is because they disposed of the bodies, and they buried the bodies. However, concerning the 10 sons of Haman, it just says Harogu, they were killed, and it does not say Ve'abed, because these bodies were not disposed of, because the Jews wanted these bodies to be seen, and therefore they were hung in a public ceremony for all to see. And the pasuk continues, Pasuk Yud Aleph, Vayomahu, on that day, Bo Mispar HaHarugim B'Shushan Abira, the number of slain in Shushan Abira came Lifnei HaMelech, before the king, Vayomah HaMelech L'Esther HaMalka. And the king said to Queen Esther, "Bishushan habira hargu ha'yehudim va'abed chamesh meos ish ve'es aseres bnei Haman. In Shushan, the capital, the Jews killed and annihilated 500 men, and also the 10 sons of Haman." And the Gemara Megillah explains this pasuk that initially Achashverosh spoke with anger, rebuking the Jews for killing so many people, and with anger he said, "Look how many lives were lost, 500 people and the 10 sons of Haman." However, a malach came and struck him on the mouth, causing him to change his mind and speak differently. And that is why he ends off speaking softly to Esther, asking her, "Uma she'elosech v'yinosein lach, what is your request? And it shall be granted to you. Uma bakashosech oid v'seyos, and what is your wish further? And it shall be done." Vatoimer Esther, and Esther said, "Im al hamelech toiv, if it is pleasing to the king, yinosein gam mocher la'yehudim asher b'shushan, allow also tomorrow to the Jews in Shushan, la'aseis kedos hayoim, to act like they did today, to allow them to kill their enemies for one more day. Ve'esaseres bnei Haman yislu alo eitz, and the 10 sons of Haman, who were already killed, shall be hung on the gallows." Zok Rashi, ve'esaseres bnei Haman yislu alo eitz, oisun shenergu, the ones that were already killed, should be hung. Me'am Lois explains that Haman had been hung almost a year earlier. The king ordered that Haman's head should be protected from the birds and remain on the gallows for the entire year. To further humiliate the Amalekim and the enemies of the Jews, Esther requested now that Haman's 10 sons should be hung together with Haman on the same gallows. And the pasuk continues, "Vayomer ha'melech lehi osois kein," and the king ordered that it shall be done so. "V'tinosein dos b'shushan," and the law was given in Shushan. "Ve'esaseres b'nei Haman tolu," and the 10 sons of Haman were also hung. Zakrashi v'tinosein dos, "Nigzar choik me'es ha'melech," a decree was passed by the king. A decree was passed that the 14th of Adar should also be a day that the Jews will take revenge against their enemies, and a day that the 10 sons of Haman were hung. "Vayikoalu ha'yehudim asher b'shushan," and the Jews in Shushan gathered for another day of war. "Gam b'yoyim arba osor l'chodesh Adar," also on the 14th of the month of Adar. "Vayahargu b'shushan shloish me'os ish," and they killed in Shushan another 300 men. "Uvabiza l'sholchu es yodom," and also on this day, they did not take from the spoils. And in Sefer Yad HaMelech it says that the Jews killed fewer men on the second day, because after having witnessed the destruction of the previous day, many Goyim were in hiding, and the Jews therefore only killed 300 men on that day compared to the 500 on the first day. Pasuk Tezayin, "Usha'or ha'yehudim asher b'medinos ha'melech," and all the rest of the Jews that were in the other provinces of the king, "Nikalu," they gathered together for war, "va'omayt al nafsham," and defended themselves, "v'noyach me'oyivehem," and rested from their enemies, "v'horoy b'soynehem," and killed their enemies, "chamisho v'shivim olef," 75,000 people, "uvabiza lo'sholuchu es yodom," and they too did not take from the spoils. "B'yom shloisha osa l'chodesh Adar," on the 13th day of Adar they fought the war, "v'noyach be'arba'o osor boy," and they rested on the 14th of Adar, "v'osoy oisoy yoy mishne v'simcha," on the day of resting, the 14th of Adar, they made it into a day of feasting and rejoicing. "V'hayehudim," and the Jews, "asher b'shushan," that lived in Shushan, "nikalu b'shloisha osor boy uva'arba'o osor boy," they gathered for the war on the 13th and the 14th of Adar, "v'noyach," and they rested, "b'chamisha osor boy," on the 15th of Adar, "v'osoy oisoy yoy mishne v'simcha," and therefore they made the 15th of Adar a day of feasting and rejoicing. The Jews in the other provinces fought the war on the 13th of Adar and rested on the 14th, therefore the 14th was a day of mishne v'simcha. The Jews in Shushan, who fought the war on the 13th and the 14th and rested on the 15th, made the 15th as a day of mishne v'simcha. Al kein, therefore, in the future generations, ha'yehudim ha'perozim, the Jews that live in open cities, ha'yoshevim ba'ori ha'perozois, who live in cities without walls around it from the times of Yeshua ben Nun, oisim es yom arba'o osor l'chodesh Adar, they make the day of the 14th of Adar a day of simcha, joy, u'mishte, and feasting, v'yom tov, and a festival, u'mishloach monos ish l'ri'eyu, and a day to send portions, one man to his friend. Since they lived in open cities without walls, they were similar to the Jews in the Sha'ar Medinois, in all the other provinces, which did not have walls around it. And since in those provinces, they rested from the war on the 14th of Adar, all cities in the future that do not have walls around it will make the 14th of Adar as a day of mishne and simcha. And the Gemara explains, when the pasuk says that the 14th of Adar is a day of simcha, mishne, and yom tov, it means simcha, a day of joy, where it is also to make hespedim, eulogies for the dead. Mishta, a day of feasting, where fasting is prohibited. And Yom Tov, a festival, where work is prohibited. And since the pasuk says, Umishloach manois, the sending of portions, manois in the plural, therefore we learn that the mitzvah of Mishloach manois is to send two portions to one person. Manois, two portions, ish el re'eu, from one man to his friend. Zokt Rashi pasuk yutes, haprozim, those who live in open cities, she'enam yoshvim ba'orei chaymo, they do not live in cities with walls around it. Ba'ar ba'asar, they celebrate Purim on the 14th. Umukafin chayma b'tesvav kishushan. And the ones who are surrounded with a wall celebrate on the 15th of Adar, just like Shushan, which had a wall around it. V'hekev zeh tzorach sheyiyah mimos Yeshua benun. And this that we call a city that is surrounded by a wall is only a city that is surrounded by a wall from the days of Yehoshua benun. Kach darshu v'lamdu rabiseinu. So did our Chazal darshan and learn in Mesechta Megillah daf beis amid beis. And the Gemara in Megillah tells us that although Shushan HaBira was not known to have a wall around it from the time of Yeshua Benun, according to Rashi, or according to the Rambam, it definitely did not have a wall around it from the time of Yeshua Benun. So why is the 15th day of Adar celebrated in Shushan? The Gemara answers, Shani Shushan, Hoyel V'nasa Bo Nes. Shushan is different because that was the place where the Nes occurred. So therefore, Shushan, even though it does not have a wall around it from the days of Yeshua Benun, they will still always celebrate Purim on the 15th of Adar, because the Nes took place over there on the 15th of Adar. However, all other cities with walls around it, in order for them to be like Shushan, they must have a wall around it from the days of Yahushua, even though Shushan itself does not have a wall around it from the days of Yahushua. Today, the only city that definitely celebrates Purim on the 15th of Adar is Yerushalayim, because it is the only city that we can be sure had a wall around it from the days of Yehoshua Benun, and that we can be sure still stands in its original location. Concerning other cities that were known to have a wall around it from the days of Yehoshua, we cannot be sure that they still stand on their original site. Therefore, the halacha states that they read the Megillah with a bracha on the 14th of Adar, and again without a bracha on the 15th of Adar. Examples of these type of cities are cities like Ashdod, Hebron, Tveria, and others. Zokt Rashi Mishloach, and Rashi is coming to tell us over here that in Hebrew, a mem before a word can be used in two ways. Either it can mean from, like in the word mikedem, from the east, or it can represent a noun, like the word mishloach, which means a sending, which is a noun. Mishloach manois, a sending of portions. The mem over here does not mean from, but rather is representing a noun. Zokt Rashi u'mishloach, shem davar, it is a noun, k'may mishmar, which means a watching, and mishma, which means a hearing. Over there too, the mem does not mean from, but rather it is representing a noun. And just like over there it means a watching and a hearing, here too it means mishloach, a sending of portions. Zokt Rashi lefikach hashin nekuda rafi. That's why the shin in the word mishloach does not have a dugish. Nekuda rafi. It has a soft punctuation. Because when the mem means from, then the following letter gets a dugish. Just like mikedem, from the east, the kuf has a dugish. And some explain the reason for this is, because when mem means from, it really means min. For example, mikedem means min kedem, from the east. And many times the dugish represents the missing letter. So therefore, mikedem, which is min kedem, gets a dugish in the kuf to take the place of the missing nun. However, over here, where the mem represents a noun and not from, therefore the following letter, shin, does not get a dugish. And the pasuk continues, pasuk chaf, vayichtav Mordechai es hadevarim o'ele, and Mordechai wrote these events. As Rashi says, he wrote down the Megillah in its present text to ensure the continued annual celebration of the Yom Tov of Purim. Vayishlach sefarim, and he sent letters, el kol ha-yehudim asher b'chol medines ha-melech ha-chashverosh, to all the Jews in all the provinces of King Achashverosh, Hakeroivim v'harachaykim, those near and those far away, L'kayim aleihem, to take it upon themselves, Liois oisim, to celebrate and observe, Eis yoim arba'o oso l'chodesh Adar, the 14th day of the month of Adar, for those who live in cities without walls around it, Ve'eis yoim chamisha oso boi, and to celebrate the 15th day of Adar, for those who live in walled cities. B'chol shana v'shana, to celebrate it each and every year. As the Yerushalmi says in Parsha Aleph Ois Dalet, that the Yom Tov of Purim will never be abolished, even in the days of Mashiach. And the pasuk continues, Kayomim, corresponding to the days, Asher nochu vohem hayehudim mei oyveihem, that the Jews rested from their enemies. The Jews who lived in cities without walls around it rested on the 14th of Adar, and the Jews who lived in walled cities rested on the 15th. V'hachodesh, and the month of Adar, Asher nepach lohem miyogoin l'simcha, that was changed for them from a month of sorrow to a month of joy, umei evel liyomtev, and from a month of mourning to a month of festivities. La'asoy soysam, to make them, yumei mishtev v'simcha, days of feasting and happiness, umishloach bonos ish l'reyehu, and the sending of portions, one man to his friend, umatonos lo evyonim, and the giving of presents to the poor. Zok Rashi pasuk chof, vayichtev Mordechai, and Mordechai wrote, what did he write? Hi ha-megillah hazois kimoy shehi. This is the Megillah in its present text, and that is what he sent to all the Jews. It is interesting to note that in Pasuk Yutes, where it says that Purim should be a day of Simcha u'mishte, it also says Yom Tov. However, here in Pasuk Chav Beis, it only says Mishte v'Simcha, but omits Yom Tov. The Gemara Megillah Daf Hei Amid Beis answers that Mishte u'Simcha, which means days that fasting and hesped are prohibited, the Jews accepted upon themselves to observe. However, Yom Tov, a day of Issur Melacha, loy kabilu alayu, they did not accept upon themselves. And that is why Yom Tov is omitted in Pasuk Chav Beis. And we must understand, if Mordechai and Esther were misakein, that it should be a day to abstain from doing work, why didn't the Jews accept it? Is it too hard to abstain from work for one day? And furthermore, we learned that the Jews of that generation re-accepted the Torah with a new love after having been saved. So why didn't they accept the prohibition against doing work? The Satmar Rebbe, in his Sefer, Divrei Yoel, answers that the Gemara Megillah Daf Dalet Amud Beis explains one reason why the Megillah is not read on Shabbos is because Einehem Shel Aniyim Nesuais B'Mikra Megillah. The poor anxiously await the reading of the Megillah, where they can receive their Matonis Lev Yoinim. Since people are gathered together for Mikra Megillah, it is an opportune time for the Aniyim to collect their Matonis Lev Yoinim. And if the Megillah would be read on Shabbos, people would not have their money with them, and the poor would lose out. So we see that even when the Megillah falls out by chance on Shabbos, we push it off. All the more so, we should not initially make it that on Purim, the Aniyim should not be able to receive all of their Matonis Lev Yoinim, because Melacha is Asur. That is why the Jews did not accept the Takana to make it a day of Issur Melacha. According to this, it is very good why in Pasuk Chav Beis, it says Matonis Lev Yoinim, which is not mentioned earlier in Pasuk Yutes. Since it was for that reason itself that they did not accept the day as a Yom Tov of Issur Melacha, that Matonis Lev Yoinim stayed intact. So where Yom Tov is not mentioned, like in Pasuk Chav Beis, that is where Matonis Lev Yoinim is mentioned. Because when it's not a Yom Tov of Issur Melacha, that is where there is more Matonis Lev Yoinim. The Pasuk says that it is a day of Mishte, feasting. And on that day we eat a su'uda. And the Ramos says in Simon Tov Reish Tzadik Hei Siv Beis that the majority of the Purim su'uda must be eaten before sundown, while it is still Purim. A priest once asked Rabbi Yonis and Eipshitz to explain why the custom of so many Jewish families is to start the meal just before sundown and to eat the bulk of the meal during the night after Purim had already ended. Rabbi Yonis answered with a question of his own. The most popular holiday in the priest's religion falls on December 25th. If the non-Jewish day begins at midnight, why is it so prevalent among the Goyim to begin celebrating their holiday the night before? Rabbi Yonasan proceeded to answer his own question. The holiday that they are celebrating on December 25th is really the commemoration of the birth of a Jew. Therefore, it is only proper to celebrate it using the Jewish day and to begin at sundown of the evening before. Purim, on the other hand, commemorates the death of Haman, a Goy, and it is therefore fitting for our meal to be based on the non-Jewish day and continue into the night. And we must understand why is Purim celebrated with a festive meal and the drinking of wine. The Avud Raham explains that the Nisim of Purim all occurred during feasting and drinking. Vashti was killed, Kitoiv Lev HaMelech Bayayin, when the king was drunk, like it says in Perek Aleph, Pasuk Yud. When Esther was chosen as queen, Achashverosh made a Mishteh Esther, the feast of Esther, like it says in Perek Beis, Pasuk Yud Ches. Haman's downfall and execution came about through going to the parties made by Esther. That is why the mitzvah hayoim is to have a festive meal at which wine is consumed. The Pasuk says that Matonis Levyonim should be given. Why is this mitzvah connected to the Yom Tov of Purim? The Gerar Rebbe explains, when the Jews defeated their enemies, it says, Uvabiza lo shalchu es yadom. They did not take the spoils, so that the goyim should not say they did it for the money. This deprived the poor people of income they so desperately needed, and was a tremendous sacrifice on their part. To compensate them for their sacrifice in those days, Matonis Levyonim was instituted specifically on the Yom Tov of Purim. What is the reason for the mitzvah of Mishloach Monos? Monos HaLevi explains that since in Haman's allegations against the Jews, he called them a nation that is mefuzar umefayrod, spread out and without unity, we therefore demonstrate through giving Mishloach Monos our love and unity for one another, unlike what Haman's accusations were. Trumas HaDeshen and others learn that it is in order that everyone has enough food for the Seuda, and in order that everyone will be able to rejoice on Purim properly. The Rambam in Hilchos Megillah, Perek Beis, Halacha Yud Zayin says that it is better to increase in the mitzvah of Matones Levyonim than in Mishloach Monos, because there is no greater mitzvah than to make the poor happy. If so, why does the Pasuk mention Mishloach Monos before Matones Levyonim? As the Pasuk says, U'mishloach monos ish l're'ehu, and then U'matonos l'avyonim. In Sefer Apiryon, and also in Shailos V'tshuvos, Tirosh V'yitzhar, they answer that the halacha states when giving tzedakah, one must be very careful not to embarrass the recipient. When Mordechai instituted Purim as a day of matonos l'avyonim, he was concerned that the poor would be embarrassed, and therefore he also instituted mishloach monos, so that an observer would be unable to distinguish between gifts given to the poor and gifts given to a friend. Since the purpose of Mishloach Monos was to conceal the Matonis Levyonim, Mishloach Monos is mentioned first in the Pasuk, because the Mishloach Monos conceals the Matonis Levyonim. With this we can understand why no bracha is made on the mitzvah of Mishloach Monos. The Rashba in Tshuva Yud Ches writes that a bracha is not made on the mitzvah of tzedakah, because possibly the person will refuse to accept it. However, according to the Ramah, in Aruch Chaim Tov Reish Tzadik Hei Sif Dalet, when one sends Mishloach Monos, he fulfills the mitzvah, even if the recipient refuses to accept the Mishloach Monos. If so, why isn't a bracha made on Mishloach Monos? According to what we said, it is answered. Since through Mishloach Monos, we managed to avoid embarrassing the poor, if a bracha would be made on Mishloach Monos and not on Matonis Levyonim, it would be obvious which gift is which, and would defeat the whole purpose of the Mishloach Monos. Therefore, no bracha is made on Mishloach Monos, in order that it should be the same as the Matonos Levyonim. And the Pasuk continues, Pasuk Chaf Gimel, V'kibel ha-Yehudim, and the Jews took upon themselves, Eis asher echelu lasos, that which they had begun doing in the year that they were saved. Just like on the year they were saved, they celebrated, they continued celebrating. V'eis asher kosav Mordechai aleihem, and also what Mordechai wrote to them to give Mishloach Monos and Matonos Levyonim. Ki Haman ben Hamdasa ha-Agogi, because Haman, the son of Hamdasa, the Agogi, Tzorir kol Yehudim, the enemy of all the Jews, Choshav ala Yehudim la'abadam, he plotted against the Jews to destroy them, V'hipil pur, and casted a pur. What is a pur? Hu ha-Goyrol, which was the lot, Luhumam ula'abadam, to destroy them and exterminate them. Zakrashi ki Haman ben Hamdasa, Choshav luhumam ula'abadam, Haman ben Hamdasa plotted to destroy them and exterminate them. Uvevoya lefnei ha-melech, and when she, Esther, came before the king, Omar, Achashverosh, said, Im ha-sefer, through letters, Yoshuv machashavta hero asher choshav al Yehudim al roshoi, the evil decree that Haman plotted against the Jews should return upon his own head. V'solu oisoi v'ezbonav alo eitz, and they hung Haman and his children on the gallows. Zok Rashi uvevoya, and when she came, she is referring to Esther. Uvevoya Esther el ha-melech, when Esther came to the king, Lischanenloi, to plead before him, Omar im ha-sefer. What does it mean, Omar im ha-sefer? So Omar is referring to Omar ha-melech b'fiv, the king stated orally. And im ha-sefer means, V'tziva lichtev svarim, and he commanded to write letters, Shetoshuv machashavte hara b'roishoy, that Haman's evil decree should return upon his own head. The Gemara Megillah learns from the words Omar ima sefer, ye omer bepeh mashakosuv basefer. The Megillah should be read out of a scroll. And if one recited the Megillah by heart, he has not fulfilled his obligation. Pasuk Chavav, Al kein karu layom ho'ele Purim. Therefore, these days are called Purim, al shem ha'pur, because of the lot. As Me'am Lois explains, the poor actually worked to benefit the Jews, because the poor delayed Haman from carrying out his decree for 11 months. He waited all the way till Adar, giving time for Mordechai and the Jews to daven to Hashem to abolish the decree. Were it not for the poor, Haman would have acted much sooner. Al kein, therefore these days were designated Al kol divrei ho'igeres hazois, based on everything that was written in this letter. Uma ra'u al kocho, and this letter tells us, for what reason did they see fit to act this way? Uma higia aleihem, and what happened to them for acting this way? Zot Rashi pasuk chavov, al kein al kol divrei ho'igeres hazois. And Rashi explains, Al kein, nikvu hayom mo'ele. For this reason, these days were designated. Ulekach nichtiva, and that's why it was written down. Lodas doris haboim, so that future generations should know what happened. Uma ra'u, and for what reason did they see fit to act this way? Oisei hamasim ho'elu sha'asa'um, the ones who did these acts. Uma higia aleihem, and what happened to them for doing these acts? So Rashi, what is it referring to? Ma ro Achashverosh, for what reason did Achashverosh see fit shenishtamish b'klei HaKodesh, to use the kelim of the Beis HaMikdash? And that was because he calculated that the 70 years of Golos Bavel had ended and Klal Yisrael were still not redeemed. Uma higia aleihem, what happened to them for using the klei HaKodesh? Shebo Sotan v'rakid b'neihem, the Sotan came and danced between them, v'horag es Vashti and killed Vashti. And also, ma ro Haman, for what reason did Haman see fit Shineskane b'Mordechai, to be jealous at Mordechai? And that was because he saw that Mordechai did not bow to him. Umahagia lehem, and what happened to him because of this? Shetolu oisev esbonov, he and his sons were hung. And also, maro Mordechai, for what reason did Mordechai see fit? Shelayichra v'leishtachaveh, not to bow down to Haman. And that was because Haman made himself into an avodah zarah. And because Mordechai did not bow down, Nisim happened. Umarosa Esther, and also, for what reason did Esther see fit shezimna lahaman, that she invited Haman to the party? And that was because she wanted to create a jealousy, that Achashverosh should be jealous of her and Haman. And through that, he was not able to sleep at night, and all the nisim happened from that story. So the Megillah tells us for what reason certain things were done, and what were the outcomes of these actions. Pasuk Chav Zayin, Kimu v'kiblu ha-Yehudim, the Jews confirmed and took upon themselves, aleihem, on themselves, v'al zarom, and upon their children, v'al kol hanilvim aleihem, and all those who will join them in the future, referring to gerim, who will convert to Judaism in the future, v'lo yavar, never to be changed, liyos oisim eshnei hayom mo'ele, to celebrate these 2 days, kiksavam, in the manner that they were written, v'chizmanam, in their time, b'chol shana v'shana, in every year. Zok Rashi Pasuk Chav Zayin, Hanilvim Alehem, who are those who will join Klal Yisrael in the future? Gerim Ho'asidim Lisgayer, it is referring to the Gerim that will convert in the future. Kiksavam, in the manner that they were written. And from this word, the Gemara Megillah learns a halacha concerning the way the Megillah must be written. Zok Rashi Shetehea Megillah Ksuva Ksav Ashuris, that the Megillah should be written in the script of Ashuris, which is the script that our Sifrei Torah, Tefillin, and Mezuzos are written in. The Gemara in Shabbos Daf Peches Amud Aleph explains the pasuk in Parshas Yisroi when it says Vayisyatzvu b'sachtes ha'or, the Jews stood at the foot of Har Sinai. Since the terminology used is b'sachtes ha'or, they stood underneath the mountain. The Gemara says this teaches us Kofa aleihem har kigigis. Hakadosh Baruch Hu held the mountain over them like a barrel and said to them, "If you accept the Torah, mutav, all is well. If not, Shom Tehei Kvuraschem, there will be your grave." Even though this seems that the Torah was forced on them, the Gemara continues that they re-accepted the Torah willingly in the times of Achashverosh. As it says in our Pasuk, Kimu v'kiblu ha-Yehudim. And the Gemara explains, Kimu, they confirm now, Ma shekiblu kvar, what they already accepted long before, at Har Sinai. And the Gemara in Megillah Daf Zayin Amud Aleph makes another drasha from this pasuk to teach us that Megillas Esther was written Beruach HaKodesh, because Kimu v'Kiblu means Kimu l'malo, they confirmed in Shamayim, Mashe Kiblu l'mata, the Yom Tov of Purim, which was undertaken in the world below. And if the author of the Megillah was able to know what was accepted in Shamayim, it must be that Megillas Esther was written Beruach HaKodesh. And the pasuk continues, pasuk Chaf Ches, V'hayomim ha'ele, and these days, Nizkarim, shall be remembered by reading the Megillah, V'na'asim, and celebrated by having a suda and giving Mishleach Monois and Matonois Lavyonim, B'chol Dar V'dar, in every generation, Mishpacha u'mishpacha, by every family getting together to eat the suda, Medina u'medina, V'ir V'ir, in every province and every city, V'mei ha'purim ha'ele, and these days of Purim, Lo yavru mitoich ha'yehudim, will never cease to exist by the Jews. V'zichram, and their remembrance, the reading of the Megillah, La Yosef Mizarum, will not end from their children. Zok Rashi Pasuk Chav Ches, these days will be Nizkarim, remembered, B'kriyas HaMegillah, by reading the Megillah, V'na'asim, and celebrated, Mishte, by feasting, V'simcha, and being joyous, V'yom Tov, and making it a holiday, Loseis Monois, to give Mishleach Monois, U'matonois, and to give Matonois Lo Evyonim. Zok Rashi Mishpacha U'mishpacha, Mis'asfin Yachad, every family gathering together, Va'ichlim v'shoisim yachad, and eat and drink together. V'kach kiblu aleihem, and this is what they accepted upon themselves, sheyimei ha'purim lo yavru, that the days of Purim should never cease to exist. V'zichrom, and their memory, kriyas ha'magila, should never end from their children. Zok Rashi lo Yosef, and the Sifsei Chacham says that the first two words of the Rashi, targum shel, should be omitted. And Rashi starts with the words lo yitoim. Zok Rashi lo Yosef, lo yitoim. La Yosef means La Yitaim, it shall not end. Their remembrance shall not end. How do we know that La Yosef is the same as La Yitaim? Dimi Targum, because Targum Unkelis on the words in Sefer Bamidbar, Ad Toim, says Ad Desaf. So Ad Toim means until the end, Ad Desaf. So too over here, La Yosef means La Yitaim, it shall not end. V'ief Shaloimar, and you cannot say Liois Migzeras Penti Sofet, that the word in our pasuk La Yosef comes from the same word as Penti Safeh in Sefer Bereshis, which means lest you be destroyed. Umigzeras, and from the same word as Ato Esofe Yom Echod, any day now I will be destroyed, as it says in Shmuel Aleph. And here La Yosef will mean it shall not be destroyed. Sh'im Kain, if that was the case, Hoya Loi Lichtoiv, our pasuk should have said instead of La Yosef, Lo Yisofe Mizarum, with a hey. Just like Penti Sofet and Ato Es Sofet is with a hey, so too over here, if it is coming from the same Shurish as them, it should say Lo Yisofet with a hey. Since it says Lo Yosef, it means it shall never end. The Cheshek Shlomi points out that the word Purim is mentioned in the Megillah five times. However, only two of them are written Mole, full, spelled with a Vav, Pei Vav Reish Yud Mem, and that is in Pasuk Chavav and Pasuk Chav Ches. The other three times, Pasuk Chav Tes, Lamed Aleph, and Lamed Beis, it is spelled without a Vav, Pei Reish Yud Mem. The Gemara Megillah tells us that people who live in outlying villages may read the Megillah earlier, on the 11th, 12th, and 13th of Adar. However, the other mitzvahs of Purim may not be fulfilled until the 14th and 15th of Adar. To hint to the 3 days that only the Megillah may be read, and one may not perform the other mitzvahs, it says Purim 3 times without a Vav, Chaser, lacking, corresponding to the 11th, 12th, and 13th of Adar, which are days that are lacking. All the mitzvahs cannot be fulfilled. However, the other 2 times that it says Purim, it is written with a Vav, Mole, full, corresponding to the 14th and 15th of Adar, which are days that are full with all the mitzvahs Hayoim. Pasuk Chavtes, V'tichtov Esther ha-Malko bas Avichayel u'Mordechai ha-Yehudi, and Queen Esther, the daughter of Avichael, and Mordechai the Yehudi, wrote, Es kol toikef, the whole power of the Nes of Purim, L'kayim es igeres ha-Purim azois ha-shenis, to confirm this second Purim letter. Zok Rashi, Es kol toikef, tokvoi shel Nes. They wrote the power of the miracle of Purim, shel Achashverosh v'shel Haman, v'shel Mordechai v'shel Esther, the Nes that encompassed Achashverosh and Haman, Mordechai and Esther. Ha-shenis, the second, what does it mean, the second? L'shono hashniya, On the second year, Chazru v'shalchu svarim, they sent out letters again, she'ya'asu Purim, that Purim should be celebrated. Vayishlach svarim, and they sent letters, el kol ha'yehudim, to all the Jews, el sheva v'esrim u'me'el medino malchus Achashverosh, to all 127 provinces of the kingdom of Achashverosh. Divrei shalom ve'emes, words of peace and truth. The letter began with greetings of peace, as one usually begins a letter. Lekayim es yimei ha'purim o'ele, to observe these days of Purim, bizmanehem, in their times. Kasher kiyam aleihem Mordechai ha'Yehudi ve'Esther ha'Malka, like Mordechai the Yehudi and Queen Esther instructed them. V'cha'asher kimu al nafshom ve'al zarom, and just like they accepted upon themselves and their children, divrei tzoymois v'za'akosom, days of fasting and days of their tefillah. As Monos Halevi explains the pasuk, that Mordechai and Esther realized that people might ask, what right do they have to institute a new Yom Tov, which is not written in the Torah? Therefore, Mordechai and Esther tell us that Purim should be accepted in the future. Kasher kimu al nafsham ve'al zarom, divrei hatzoymois v'za'akosom. Just as the Jews undertook to observe the four fast days instituted by the Nevi'im, Asar b'Teves, Shivasa b'Tammuz, Tisha b'Av, and Tzom Gedalia, even though they were not Minat Torah, so too should they undertake the celebration of Purim for them and their children. Kasher kimu al nafsham ve'al zarom divrei hatzoymois, just like they accepted the fast days, which were not Minat Torah, so too should they accept the celebration of Purim. The Gemara in Megillah, Daf Beis Amud Aleph, learns from the word bizmanehem, in their times, in the plural, that the day on which walled cities are to observe Purim, the 15th of Adar, must differ from the day on which unwalled cities do so, the 14th of Adar. Bizmanehem, each one in their time. I once heard a question that Purim is known as the Yontif of Achdus, unity, as we focus on coming together both to hear the Megillah and come together to eat the Seudas Purim, sending Mishloach Manos to friends and family, and remembering to help out the poor. If so, wouldn't it have made more sense for Chazal to insist on the exact opposite? That everybody should specifically observe Purim together at the same time on the same day? Since it's a Yontif that personifies Achdus. I heard a teretz that when everyone is doing the exact same thing at precisely the same time, in an identical fashion, that cannot be called true Achdus. The reason why everybody would feel united would not be because of any genuine sense of Achdus with other Jews, but rather because they all happen to be doing the same thing at the same time. True Achdus, true unity, is when one Jew is able to tolerate and accept that another Jew is conducting himself differently than he is, and to nevertheless recognize that each in his own unique way is equally fulfilling the Ratzon Hashem. So by Chazal making different times for reading the Megillah, and Klal Yisrael accepting each other, that shows true Achdus. Pasuk Lamed Beis, Uma'amar Esther Kiyam Divrei HaPurim O'Ele, and the request of Esther was granted concerning this Megillah of Purim, V'nichta Ba'Sefer, her request was that it should be written and included in the Sifrei HaTanach. Zok Rashi Pasuk Lamed Beis, Uma'amar Esther Kiyam, Esther Bikshtra Me'eschach Me'hador, Esther requested from the Chachamim of her generation, Likoiva, to commemorate her, V'lichtoiv Sefer Zeh Im Shar HaKsuvim, and to include this Sefer with the other Sifrei HaTanach, V'zehu V'nichta Ba'Sefer, and this is what it means, it was written as a Sefer. It was written and included in the Sifrei HaTanach. And the Sifrei Chachamim in his Akdama to Masechet Megillah says, the reason why Esther wanted it to be remembered and included in Tanakh was because she wanted to transmit a message of inspiration for further generations. Regardless of how hopeless your situation may appear to be, regardless of how great the tzara confronting you may be, do not despair. Remember the Nes of Purim. And just like Hashem did in the past, He can do again.